podcast day. We got the boys, Peyton and Josh, on with us
something
for a little special episode.
What's happening?
And Rutter, what have you been up? He had his fucking shed in a box. The tarp blew off it today when he got home from work, so he's already half rotted.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Pulls in the driveway. Mrs. is like, oh, kind of looks like the door on the shed give way or something.
It's like one of them garage in a box dealies.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me go take a look. So I go back and the whole thing's peeled. So for context, the beginning of the winter, the original covering, I don't get it. Some of them, you see them set up so terribly and they last for like 9 years.
They're forever.
Yeah.
Man. Once I moved it back there, I made sure all the rods were in the right spot. Everything was tickety-boo. Everything was anchored down. It was nice. All of a sudden, everything just instantly dry rotted.
Fell apart.
So I go out and I buy a giant tarp, throw a tarp over the whole thing. Today was really quite windy, but this is also after like 7 months. But today was really quite windy, so it blew it off. So that was what I had to deal with as soon as I walked in the door. It's great. Actually, and before I walked in the door.
When he got in the house, he got the best news he's ever heard. His bow still isn't in.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's a rocking day.
Damn.
Has there been any inclination, brother, of when this thing, this mysterious unicorn of a bow might show up?
Not as of
any
yet.
Communication.
Not as Sorry. Of yet.
I couldn't resist it.
I am Jeez. Honestly a little concerned for turkey season.
Yeah.
It's a not very long season.
You might be running a Matthews attack.
Hopefully not that far
man.
Away.
Whoa.
If you think about the time that you're running into here now, like, you got to get that bow set up. You might have to shoot it with stock strings on, brother. You're going to have to shoot it with stock.
Is it 10 weeks now?
Yeah, we're 10 weeks deep now. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause unfortunately I have no word on my string ETA either. The strings that I ordered are for that core.
Yeah. So
the A3 bloodline.
Yeah. Ones? Yeah.
So he's going to have to
put the order in at the same time.
Yeah.
Before.
Oh, but shit. We had them on hold for a little while because we weren't sure what was going on with a few things. But it's been a minute, man, and I hope it comes in soon. I'd like to see it come in, you know, at least in the next 2 weeks.
Would
be ideal.
I would love, like, come on in April. It would be great.
Yeah.
I ordered it in January.
Yes. Oh. Exactly.
Jeez.
That's,
you're scaring me now.
Yeah. So
I'm only going into week three from
and
mine.
It's
different company, though.
It's a different company.
But it's a lefty problem with almost every company.
Yes.
Right now. Just,
it's always been.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always been.
It's a good.
Especially on a brand new current bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we should chalk it up to a good problem. The fact that they obviously must be selling a lot of bows and the archery world is very alive. Well,
but I'm also hearing, though, that they're behind on righties, too, though.
Well, but that's what
my question is, which is great. The demand is huge, but the last, I think this is like the third year in a row now, archery is the fastest growing sport on the planet.
It's huge now, man.
My question is,
pickleball now has it beat.
Sorry, pickleball.
Oh, pickleball.
I think pickleball. Yeah,
you know what? It sounds silly, but that's probably true.
I can't believe.
But my question is now at this point. At this point, though, like. What is your manufacturing excuse? Everybody's back.
Not enough machines.
Yeah.
Well, not enough machines.
I had the same.
They were making bows before.
I know.
I had the same problem when I ordered Hoyt in 2019. I had the same problem when I ordered Prime in 2021. They both took way longer than they should have or were supposed to.
I know Matthews is the only one that had bought a pile of new machines in the last couple of years. So that they could keep up, and even Matthews falls behind, which is pretty bonkers.
Did you see the stock that MFJJ has a shot.
I can only imagine.
He posted a video where he went.
It's he wild.
Around the top. He it's went all the way around the top of the store.
Now,
and it is unreal how much stock.
Yeah, he's got like at least six of every bowl.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, but even he said, he's like, I don't expect you guys to go into shops and see what we have here. He's like, my whole goal was to make sure that this is what this place was.
Right.
Just a stuff like, to the gills. Like,
get three more locks for the front door.
But America has a great system about the fact that they have so many great bow shops. Like, they've got some big ones, like Podium Archery, like Lancaster, like, you know what I mean? The Bow Rack and all that stuff. Like, and they have and everything you can possibly want. And you can find them
in every state.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to set aside a significant amount of time to drop into Lancaster when we're down there.
If we could. Mm. We might have to
plan it. I would love to go to MFJJ's shop, too, Spokane Valley, but that's in Washington.
Yeah, that's a long
way. That's the other side of the country.
Yeah, you're talking, you know. But which brings us to, you know, the fact that, like, here in Canada, I mean, where a lot of shops have a few bows, like Shooters has a pretty good selection of bows for sure. They but do. Nothing, nothing like that, right? And
no, the problem is up here,
it's not their fault. It's, you know.
No, the problem up here is like, yes, if you look at the ratio of people that are involved in it in Canada as opposed to America, it's pretty equal. But like, because our population is like about the same percentage lower, right? But like, it's just, it doesn't equal in the stores. It's like they're not able to send everything to Canada because they're too busy filling up all the American stores.
Yeah, I mean, even clothing is. Like, go try and buy a shirt, like a Hoyt or a Bowtech or a PSE shirt.
As you're wearing a Bowtech shirt.
Yeah, but I got this online, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
But it's next to impossible, right? Like, Peyton, have you seen any shops that have, like, other than hats?
No.
There's
but nothing, even then, right? Those are the hats that come with bows, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you have to go direct to the manufacturer or whoever's selling the merch.
Yeah,
which like is Lancaster. Wild. You figure the bow shops and stuff would have oodles of it.
Oh, big time.
You would like, think. Yeah. If I owned a bow shop, I would have, you know, like I would have a room per brand because I'd only carry like certain brands. So like, you know, I'd have like a room. This is the room for Hoyt. This is the room for Ha. This is the room for He. Like,
I'm surprised.
There would be all the shit too, the swag.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like the bow companies don't like send more clothing to the shops. Be like, hey, just you know, see if you can move some of this. Just see how it goes. Like, because I know lots of guys. Like, you guys would buy it if it was in the shops.
I would. Right?
Yeah, Yeah. I'm looking for some elite stuff because I'm going
to
be switching.
Yeah, good luck. That's a tough one to find.
They're nowhere, right? So I'm looking at a couple of hoodies and a shirt. And I might get another hat because I'm worried that the hat that comes in the box is not the nicer looking hat.
That's my other issue.
And you think, hey, I'm spending $1,700. So you put a nice hat in that box.
This is
right?
This is my issue.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a couple times now where I've either bought a top-tier bow or he's bought a top-tier bow that I've been with him when he buys it, and out comes just the bone stock, bare version hat of whatever they threw in the box, the one that always gets thrown in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoyt's the only one that I've ever got a good hat from.
Man.
Like,
lame.
Yeah.
Hoyt's hats in their box are usually pretty good.
I get not throwing in a t-shirt. Because who knows what size the guy is.
Yeah, but a ball cap. I mean,
if you're going to throw in a hat, throw in a nice hat. Like, if you're just getting, like, the entry level of the of your line, you get the entry level hat.
Yeah, but if you buy a flagship,
like, a carbon bow or something, like, come on, man. Throw him the $50 hat.
You better
like,
be two hats.
Yeah. That's what I mean. The Hoyt Carbon Redworks comes with like that nice Redworks hat with the patch and stuff on it. Like, it's a nice hat. The rest of them don't come with that stuff. No. Not at all.
No. They should do what Yeti does. What? Like when you buy a product, especially for that price, when you register it for the warranty, you get like points or you even get something in the mail.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like a new shirt, a new hat or something.
I could go for like
certain. That's a really good idea.
Or 20 stickers.
Or,
20 stickers. Hey, man. Some good quality
vinyls. Stickers.
Yeah. That's another thing that doesn't come with Bose that you would think that PSE sends some with theirs, I think. And I think I got one with my Bowtech, actually, now that I think about it.
Back when we were teenagers, man, Everton came with a sticker.
Bro, stickers Everton were like...
Everton cooled it anyway.
Yeah. Like, if you didn't get a sticker with it, you were upset. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, you even got stickers in your chips. Like,
yeah.
And your baseball cards came with gum.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yep.
Well, there you go.
You might remember that. I don't know.
Oh, I remember that.
So I'm just waiting for the full draw sticker,
bro.
I know. Where are the clothing?
We're thinking about buying a sticker making machine.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Just like print them.
Yeah,
because it's almost cheaper. You can get
the vinyl printer for your shirts for like $2.99 on Amazon.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
One of my tenants at work has one.
We should get some.
Like, man, it's great.
We should get some full draw hats made or something.
There's a podcast that I follow. It's a hunting podcast, but they do what they call a sticker draw. So instead of a giveaway, you purchase like $5, you get a pack of stickers, but then you get entered into the draw.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I like that idea.
So, you know, you're marketing for the giveaway through social media, but then you're also getting a little bit of income from the stickers, and then the stickers generate more marketing just through
the voice sticking them on and stuff. That's actually a really good idea, Peyton. That's genius, actually. We should do that, brother.
Don't be telling Peyton like he thought of it.
It does upset me. I don't like giving him compliments because he beats me a lot, and so I like I'll give him the one compliment that he's an awesome archer, but I don't like building him up on anything else because he beats me too often. So I'm like, fuck him. You know what I mean? No, I can't wait for Porcupine Hollow, boys, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm stoked. Yeah.
Hoping to be standing next to Peyton on the podium.
There you go. See? What class is all you boys shooting?
He'll be up here. I'll be down here.
Hunter Money.
Ooh, Hunter Money. I see you in Hunter Money, son.
Yeah. We're all coming to get you. Money then.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. Oh, everybody? You guys did it too?
Yeah.
So we got a four-way battle for, Peyton will be competing for first place. We'll be somewhere in the top 10, hopefully.
That's right.
That's the plan anyway.
Right. Yeah. That's usually what I go
Are you guys planning on camping?
Oh, definitely this year.
We're going to be there the whole time this time. Okay. Yeah.
I was in third place all last year until I missed that target.
Oh, really?
I was in third place going into second day. And on target 5, I forgot to die on my sight, shot under it, missed the target altogether, and that knocked me out of content. Once you miss a target.
You know, how many people?
No. Do you know why you never come back from that, though?
Why?
Because on day 2, they don't let you shoot with whoever you want.
I know you usually talk me down when I fuck up like that.
Ain't no usually about it.
Yeah, you always talk me down. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're shooting the behind you and I says, stop bitching. See that down there? Shoot that rodilla.
Yeah. We're shooting afternoon. You boys are shooting in the morning, right?
Yeah. So we will know at least where the benchmark is.
Yep.
There you go.
We'll know what we're shooting for.
How many people usually sign up?
There's a lot. But we can film for each other, which is great.
Yes. This is very nice.
So good moves on.
The thing, though.
Just like last time. It's like we planned.
Yeah. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
Me neither. It just left me.
Turkey season's coming up. What all gear are you boys going to be running?
I got a new decoy.
I saw that. You got a new review road on that.
It looks like a turkey.
That thing looks good, man. That turkey looks nice. Nice shimmer. Like it's got that iridescence to it.
It's got good paint. Yeah. And it kind of bounces on the stand. Mm. So it looks in the wind. It actually looks like it's
moving a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Higdon Outdoors.
Okay.
I haven't heard of that.
We have to check those suckers out. Oh, yeah. That's a good look decoy.
Yeah, it is.
I see, even got the little legs. Fancy. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, cool. It's a good one.
What are you running for, like, clothing?
I'm not ready for...
That means now, gosh, I get to call...
I'm not ready for a bow yet.
That means I get to call you two bitches out now, because that means neither one of you has watched Josh's video. I got you, bro.
I haven't watched it, actually. You're right. I feel bad. I did watch your treehouse video, though.
Oh, yeah.
I like that
pack. Yeah, that's right there.
That's a sweet pack.
That pack is amazing. Yeah, they cool. They did some upgrades to that.
Yeah?
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I had the original one, but this one's...
Is it better?
What are you drinking there?
Did some cool stuff to it.
Just beer.
Taking a beer.
Good old beer.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What kind of clothes you running, Josh?
I always have a beer.
Oh, I'll just do the sickest stuff.
Yeah.
Subalpine.
What about you, Peyton?
Yep.
Just my standard Canadian Tire Realtree sweater.
I love it. A Peyton gets it done in like the gear, like the old school gear. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
it all
fuck
works.
Yeah, it works. That's all we ever moved on it in, man, was Canadian Tire Yukon stuff. When they came out with Hunt UConn Shield gear. Back in New, we were like, what is this fantastic gear?
Like, this shit's fancy.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, Sitka is not even whispered back home. You won't see a Sitka. If I'm telling you right now, if you're in the woods moose hunting and you see a fella in Sitka gear, he's not from Newfoundland. He's hunting with somebody. Jones. He's from not even them fellas, man. They're Badlands guys.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you can get out there, right?
That gear is
don't get me wrong,
though, man.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I like the Badlands gear.
I wear some Sitka gear too. I've got some like Fanatic gear and stuff like that for like real cold weather. Yeah. But my Numa gear is probably the most comfortable stuff I've ever put on. Like it's
that pattern is
phenomenal. Dude, so good, brother. You tried it on; it was so comfortable, right?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable, man.
It's got the right.
You know what else I liked about? I was looking at the Numa website, and you got to watch the sizing chart with some of these companies, because when you're a bigger guy like me, it's not necessarily true to size, right? Okay. So there are some companies that I can't even wear because what they're saying should be my size is not anywhere near it.
Right.
And their largest size is what should be like an extra large,
right?
Like a normal extra large or 2X is not even on the mark.
Yeah.
So you really got to watch, especially now that you can only really get a lot of things online. You really got to watch those size charts and make sure
big
you buy. It doesn't matter what size you are, but like, you could say, oh, I'm a large and everything, and then you buy it, and it's like, why is this too big?
Yeah.
You know, right?
So, well, when it comes to like,
but I found that
the Numa stuff, the shirts and stuff, they fit true to size, like medium. I wear medium in basically everything, but the jacket, I had to go up a size to a large. The medium was just like, it would have been perfect if it was like, if I ordered a spring jacket to wear around with nothing under it. But if you're going to layer under it, there is no way in this world you're getting a base layer and a sweater underneath that jacket. So I had to go up a size for sure. But
speaking of inordinately oddly shaped people, Peyton, you're in that group too.
Hey, you are in that group. You got
the gangly old arms and stuff.
Stretch just a little bit.
Hence why the boys are here.
You're like a used Stretch Armstrong.
You like lost the elasticity, you don't come all the way back yet. You like you come like 75% of the way back, but that's it.
So anyway, on the note, we actually had
nice segue.
Yeah, why not? We actually had a listener write in, and now he's kind of in a very similar situation as we've talked.
I would argue far worse than us,
but way more exaggerated. So I'm sure you guys listening at home have heard us complain about, you know, like the difference between the access to products in Canada as opposed to the States. What we haven't really considered was the difference in access to products that we have to those that may not be so close to stores. Mm. Like, I mean, within a 6-hour range, we have 10 shops.
Yeah, easy.
Right?
For sure.
So this guy, this is Mac dot Cavallo.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry if we fucked that up.
Oh, I guarantee I butchered that name.
Yeah.
It's like Cavallo. Yeah. Anyway. So he's about an 18-hour drive or a $1,500 flight to the nearest bow shop.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And apparently it's, you know, whatever.
He's in Port Hedland, West Australia.
Oh.
So he's not, not even, I just got the message from him. I just asked him. I was like, where are you located?
Oh, yeah, from? That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Archery Supply. In is in Australia.
Yes.
I'm not sure where.
Yes.
Yeah. They have a lot of good stuff.
Oh, Stephen Hand. Yes. I've watched a bunch of his videos. But he's in the same kind of situation with you guys where he has a draw length of 31.5 to 32 inches. So he got that big old long arms too. Yeah. So he is asking if some of you guys could give a little bit of insight into certain bows that might be more available in longer draw options. Cause I mean, 32, Peyton, you could run a 32 as well, right?
Yeah. That's about my, actual length. Yeah. 32 and a half.
So he's curious about different kinds of bows, different gear, just things that might help out his archery quest with super, super long arms. Like, I know at 32, it's super long, but if he can find one that goes to even to like 32 and a quarter, it would be so much more beneficial if he could find one where he's not at the absolute max. Because it's going to be hauling him, right? Like,
so if you're 32, Peyton, and Josh, you're what's your like legit draw length?
I'm 30.
You're 30 inches. Okay, so you can almost shoot any bow. Whereas Peyton, you're kind of handcuffed, like into what you can shoot for starters.
Yeah. So like, that's really one of the biggest negatives when it comes to guys with long draw is just the accessibility to actual equipment. Not every bow has that range. Now, it is becoming more popular where you can buy different cams or modules that will stretch it out that far. And some bows do have a longer range. But that is a big limiting factor, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, I am around the 32 mark, but with my Embark, I'm shooting 30 and a half with that. So I am quite a bit under. If anyone's asking for advice specifically towards this question, it's always okay to go under. You know, you don't want to drastically go under, but if you're about an inch to an inch and a half, you're still in a good spot.
You make it work.
You are going to have a bit more of a bent front arm, which is completely fine, and especially from a hunting standpoint, it's probably what you're going to want anyways.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting into target, I'm now, you know, from a technique standpoint, you're going to want to more fine tune that and have it more not as bent as a hunting bow.
Yeah.
You know, but I've obviously done fine with what I have with a 30 and a half being that short.
100%.
You know, and there is negatives to that. It's not all positive. Like as you get tired, and as you get a little bit more fatigued, like your technique has to be there.
Right.
So when I do get tired, you know, my front shoulder starts creeping up. I feel my arms straightening out more, and that length is now creeping into my shoulder moving and not my arm being in a stable position.
Right. This is also another thing, you know, where I find you can use some different equipment to help gain not necessarily draw length, but like comfort, right? Because like you look at like the UV button, the shank on that thing is a mile long, right? So if you're only like maybe a half a quarter inch or something short, at least that way you can feel like you're in the right spot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And give yourself a little longer of a D loop too. That can
So help a from an bit. Equipment standpoint, like you said, you can, you know, you can kind of navigate that a little bit with, you know, a longer neck, you know, thumb release.
Yeah.
Perkins, his release hold design is around the adjustability of where the hinge length is. Right. So on his hinge release, you can move that neck in and out to actually change the length of it.
I never knew that.
I think it's the True Ball Executive.
Oh, that's cool. Right. Yeah. You're right. Right.
You know, you can also, you can also fool around with your D loop length.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, I'm not huge on that, but there are guys like Tim Gillingham who will have like an inch to an inch and a half long D loop.
Must be running like the tiniest little knock, man.
Wow, that's
that doesn't really help with the string angle on your face, though.
Yeah,
that might make it.
That's just, you know, he's one of those guys that he really likes to fool around with stuff. Yeah. I don't know if he's still running it now, but like he used to run with two front stabilizers.
Oh wow, okay.
He had a bar across his bow with two front stabilizers on it. So he, like, he's really out there with experimenting with stuff. But you know, if it is like half an inch that you need between your release and the next bit of length on your D loop, like you can easily make that up. But like I said, with draw length, like going under is fine, but never go over.
Yeah. Cause you're just
never shoot a draw length that is too long for you. It's just not recommended at all.
Well, you're going to slap your arm eventually anyway.
I'm hearing that even with the wrong draw length, Peyton is still kicking her ass.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
How does that make you feel?
And now,
oh my God.
Now he's got a bow that does fit him when it comes to target, which is going to make him that much harder to beat once he makes that transition to not having that bent elbow.
So why haven't you challenged him right now before he's used to it?
Well, I mean, that's a good point, I guess.
Well, I didn't think of that. I'm
kidding. Yeah. Season is starting soon,
old buddy. Have you been shooting it yet, or have you not made the transition to?
I don't have it set up yet.
Because I'm curious.
I got a bunch of stuff on order.
Oh, okay. I'm curious to find out.
We don't even have the opportunity to set it up.
I'm curious to find out how you find the transition from having a more straight arm with a more structured, like using your skeleton more than muscle, right? Because I totally get, like, if your elbow is more bent because you have to come in a little bit on the draw line, you're right. Once you fatigue, like if you're not paying very close attention to your form, this is going to start to happen, like you said, right? So I'm curious to see how it is for you when you make the transition, how you like it or dislikes. Be interesting. Yeah.
We're all going to be working for him. That's what it's going to be like.
I'll be your driver.
It's going to be rough.
I did, after when you guys mentioned it last night, I looked up a few brands to see what was actually out there.
Yeah.
Hoyt used to have the double XL. That's what Josh from Endure, I think, shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. He's another long draw guy too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hoyt now has the high line, which is 29 to 34.
Ooh,
whoa. Oh, wow.
Come on. 34 inches.
Yeah. I did twice. 34.
You got to be like 6'7". Because you're what, 6'4", Peyton?
Jeez.
Matthews has the Atlas, which was 29 and a half to 34.
That Atlas is a monster, man.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does PSE have anything in the real long?
The Evolve DS-33 is 26 to 31 and a half.
Okay.
So you could, if you did get something like that, you could finagle, like we said, the D-loop or the equipment.
Yeah, the Mach 34 gets out to 32 inches. 26 and a half to 32. So you can, if you're looking for a PSE, you'd have to go to a carbon, but it does get you out there. The only thing I dislike about, I don't like shooting bows at their max length because they become so much more rough cam rolls all the way over, it's such a harsher dump than if you were down 2 inches or so, right? But I mean, that's it. But you're getting the speed out of it. Like, Peyton, I'd be curious.
And that's the big benefit.
Oh, man, that's a huge plus, dude. I'd be real curious to see what kind of speed you're getting out of that embark. I bet you.
Well, did you try the?
Go ahead, Josh.
Did you try the Revolt XL?
No.
Before the Reckoning?
No, I didn't.
That one is 27.5 to 33.
Oh, okay.
So that's another one.
So if you're there's,
and then Darton's got a few too.
There's some good options for you. If you know, depending on whether you want to do a hunting rig or a target rig, but there are options out there. I guess I don't know what he can get over in Australia though. I know PSE.
That's the tricky part. Is sold over PSE for sure. I know that archery Hoyt supply there. Sure. They pretty much.
I think you can pretty much get.
Pretty much, yeah.
You just have to wait.
Yeah,
just have to wait. Yeah, that's the everything. Thing, yeah. Everything's a wait. Everything's
so that wait. Was curious about that too, because like, so the in the G2 Reckoning, you can get the short draw option, even though I hate the way the cams look.
Tiny cams.
Oh yeah, they look so old school.
Yeah.
But they max at 26.5.
Yes.
Which is me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, it's just going to be a target bow at 60 pounds.
Yeah.
So even at its max, will it be really that rough?
From my understanding, Peyton, you can probably lend more to this than I can, but from my understanding,
cams,
the smaller, those smaller cams tend to be not as harsh. Is that right, Peyton, or are they more harsh?
I believe so. Yeah. When you see the ones that are like really like oblong and have that big hump on the, looking, you know, big, the top end.
Yeah.
Those are really for speed is what it's for. And that's why you see like the Matthews and the Hoyts, they look massive.
Yeah.
It's just from my understanding to get that speed.
Right.
Versus a target bow, which is just, you know, you're not really focused for speed. And a lot of the, you know, I think it's FIDA Field and stuff like that. Like they all have regulated speed. So right. They're all shooting a pound under 60. I think 60 is the max for a lot of that right. stuff. So they're really not focused on speed.
Right. So the medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably not. Probably not on a target bow.
Yeah.
I would assume you wouldn't feel as big as a difference from some of the older hunting bows.
Right.
Like every year, man. Oh, you just disappeared. Awesome.
I bet he pressed the end button by accident. Hang on, we'll stop the room. And we're back. Yeah, so like you were saying, Peyton, the more oblong cams tend to be a lot more aggressive than stuff like the EC2 cam is pretty round, right? So it tends to be a lot more smooth feeling cam than most, than like the S2 that has that big flat spot.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just for hunting purposes. They're really just trying to maximize the, you know, the speed and the, you know, the forces on the string to get as much out of it as possible.
Which you don't need in a target setup because you're just looking, like you said, you're 300 feet per second or less. So you're usually only shooting 60 pounds at most. So, exactly. And if you need more speed, you can just change your arrow setup. Just lighten your arrow, right? All that good stuff. So, Yeah, man. So I hope that helped you out when it comes to advice. I don't know what shops in Australia carry, so it'd be hard. And it does suck that you're 18 hours from the closest bow shop, man.
That's rough.
That's a hard beat, man.
Yeah.
We can't even complain at this point.
No, that's what we were saying before we got on the show. We were like, we can't even talk anymore now because that's brutal, right? Yeah. At the end of the day.
Yeah. But yeah, like do your research, you know, put the time in for researching it. It sucks that you can't actually test it being that far away. But yeah. And like I said, don't be afraid to be a little bit under. It's not going to hurt you as much as you may think it will. You really just don't want to be over.
Yeah, because that just causes more problems at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you boys are all excited for turkey season. What are your, you got spots planned out, scouting done? Like,
yeah. What are you thinking of doing? Are you going to be in a blind or behind some sort of cover, or what are you thinking?
I think I'm going to do a blind, for my first one. Cause I'm going to do an archery hunt for my first tag. And then I think I'm going to do a shotgun hunt for my second tag. I really wanted like shotgun hunt turkeys. So I'll do the first one, like I say, with a bow, and then the second one will be shotgun for sure.
Nice.
Peyton, what about you? Yeah.
Man, I don't have the balls yet to go
turkey hunting. No, really. Come on.
Come on.
No.
Get out of here, bro.
Dude, I haven't even
neither
got it.
Bro, neither have I.
So I need to get it off my back with a shotgun. I've had a few close encounters. But I primarily turkey hunt with a buddy of mine, and we stalk and spot or run and gun, I guess. Sweet. Turkey, so I'll probably be doing that, and you know, if I get one, then maybe we'll try with a bow for the second one.
So
as of right now, no initial plans.
So you're running two tags?
You can only buy one at a time,
right? I think you just get two, don't you?
I think you can buy more than one.
I think
spring is two, fall is one.
To buy one. Okay. But I think for spring, you can only buy one at a time.
Right.
And I think they do that to stop people from shooting two turkeys in one day.
Right. That's probably a good, message.
So you can buy two, but they have to be, I think, 24 hours or purchased on different days.
I think spring is bearded and fall is anything.
Right. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was all bearded.
Yep.
No, not for the fall.
No? Nope. Okay, so fall you can shoot.
Fall is anything.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is nice if you're out in the stand.
Shoot, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'd have had a hen the other last year. Mm-hmm. If that were the case. Yeah. I got a good spot picked out. I got a lot of turkeys on camera, so that's good. Nice. I'm excited about that. But yeah, Peyton, once you shoot that first turkey, man, let's go up. I got a good spot. There's like tons of toms there. We'll do an archery hunt out of a blind. I'll set one up.
Oh, I'm down.
Totally. What kind of call are you using?
Just a pot call, man. And I got a couple diaphragm calls. I'm not the box call is too hard for me, man. I can't do it. And I can't do the
you don't like it?
The box call? Yeah. Oh, it's not that I don't like it, it's just that I'm shit, Peyton. I'm not good at it, bro. It's why you use box call?
I primarily use box call, yeah.
Oh, dude, you're going to have to show me how to use box call.
Yeah. I have everything, but I don't practice enough with the diaphragm.
Okay.
I've got a box call. I think I got to try different ones because the one I was using was not working.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really don't like those diaphragm calls, eh? They're not, he's not a fan of them. He can't, I don't mind using them. They don't bother me at all.
I don't have a problem. It's just a practice, man. Like, honestly, just buy a cheap one, keep it in your car all year round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do. I've got like three in a little sleeve, and I just I pop one in. And I just practice while I'm driving if I've got a longer drive ahead of me or whatever. Yeah. So,
Did you have to try a couple of different ones before you found one that you liked, or is it just
there are some that I don't do good with, and some are easy, like. I gravitate towards the ones I look at the reviews and they say like easy to use.
Yeah.
I go to them because they actually, you wouldn't think it makes a difference, but some of them are hard to sort out. The easier ones with like, just like the two membranes with the one little point coming off of it, I find is easy to use. When you get into the intricate cut ones, they tend to get, I don't know if it's raspy or whatever, or I can't get enough air over them to break them over properly. I don't know what it is. But
same with the three layer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just get harder.
Those ones are hard too. Yeah.
Which the opposite I found with duck calls, right? Because I have a three reed duck call that I find the easiest to use. And then the less reeds I get, I find it kind of harder to use until I get to a single reed, and then it's not as bad again, right?
Right.
But we got to do some duck hunting this year, Peyton.
Oh, man. It's my favorite kind of hunting.
Dude, listen, I'm not going to say it's my favorite kind of hunting, okay? But I'm not going to say it's not.
It's okay. Nobody's listening. Go ahead.
Because, dude, there's something about, like, waterfowl hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That just... Because it's different. Because you can get in the blind. You can talk. You can shoot the shit. You don't have to be super quiet. Like, you can get the grill going cool while you're in there, whatever.
Them. It's cool watching them fly in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a ton of fun. So, yeah, I got a new Benelli M2.
You got it?
I'd say, well, I got to go pick it up. But, yeah, it's there.
Oh, okay.
So.
Dope, man.
Dang. That's going to be happening. I'm pumped.
Yeah, we got to go to the ranch and shoot some trap.
Yeah, I'm down 100%, man. Bro, I used to have a real nice Beretta. I had a Beretta A400 Extreme. Dude, it was so nice. But I got rid of it when I moved here because I let my license expire for starters, so I sold it. And I just didn't foresee me doing much hunting when I moved here because I didn't know anybody, and hunting is not as easily... You know, public land is hard to come by and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then I met you fellas, and then I drove by a field one day, me and Gary, when he first moved up here, and I was like, look at the geese and ducks in that field.
Yeah.
This is like, compared to Newfoundland, this is like the mecca of duck hunting.
Yeah.
Bro, we get like especially three geese. Ducks coming in. Or geese, yeah, especially.
Oh, yeah.
But we get like a flock of seven geese.
Hundreds of them around my house.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you could sit in a lawn chair next to the barn and just wait. And they just
whack geese all day long.
It's crazy.
They say you can hunt geese with a bow.
You went with a bow.
They say you can hunt them with a bow. Eh? I don't know. Is that really true?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
We'll let him hunt with a bow.
I'm definitely not shooting one out of the air. Yeah, you're not going to shoot one out of the air, though. That's for sure.
No. You'd have to wait till he was on the ground. You'd just be a dickhead trying to do it. Get out of here. But yeah, we'll do some duck hunting for sure. That sounds like a ton of fun. But I'm up. Yeah, I really want to do the turkey hunt with a shotgun. That's gonna be a ton of fun, I think. Just the vest with the seat, so I can just move, call, like, you know, get within range and stuff. Because the problem for me with turkey hunting with a bow is, out of a blind, you're kind of at the mercy of the bird, man.
You are, you know, for sure.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And running and gunning with a bow is hard to do.
Yeah. Very hard. Yeah. You know, that's the biggest downside. Mm. And a lot of guys hunt with a blind, nothing against them. But like you said, you are at the mercy of the bird, and you're just not as mobile. And turkeys are extremely mobile animals.
They move, eh?
Like, they're not always on the same path. When you call them in, they're not coming, you know, the path that you expect. They're circling around the left, around the right, you know.
And they're
very strange creatures.
Yeah. In a blind, you know, you're camouflaged. You're hidden. So there's a good trade-off there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can kind of, like you say, you move around a little bit. You don't have to be so still and stuff like that. And you're covered. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for turkey season anyway, and I'm excited for TAC. I can't wait for us to get down there and do that too. So, what do we got? A couple days before?
Yeah, the podcast that Dudley put out about TAC, they said that if you get there early enough Thursday, you can register up until 7 p.m., I think. So depending on when we get down there, we should probably go Thursday. That'll alleviate us going the morning of our first shoot on Friday.
Sure.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
And we can just walk onto our thing instead of getting in line.
Yeah, I'm down. We should really do a call probably early next week and just figure out like what time we want to leave, what the plan, our plan, a route to get there, what store we're going to hit once we're there and all that stuff and go from there. That'd be great. Sounds good. So, yeah, man, should be a good April. Should be a ton of fun and all that stuff with TAC and turkey season and all that stuff coming up. So, And then Porcupine Hollow is going. We're gonna have a busy summer, man. Yeah. There's a lot of tournaments and shit to do.
What's the other one?
Porcupine Hollow.
I know the other one.
Southern Canadian Classic.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and there's the Muskoka Archers in Muskoka too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing an ASA style this year though.
Okay.
Like they usually host a big event every year. I think this year they're doing a hybrid. Which is like day one is like a field course and then day two is the 3D.
I'm down with that.
But I don't think they're doing an ASA, which we did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then last year they hosted provincials. So this year I think I've looked at the schedule. I don't think they have a big one. But it is a great course to go to. Like I would recommend anyone to go to it.
I'm just surprised that the 500 class you're saying is 40 yards and less, 40 and under.
Yeah. So ASA, the ASA rules, that's what they go by. Like when we shot the ASA at Muskoka, it actually would have been at 40.
Right.
But so, like
nothing over 40, like 40 and under.
Right. No, 40 will be your max. And if the course is set up right, like you'll only have a few shots at max. Everything else is going to be a wide range of yardage.
Yeah. A lot of 30s.
Same with the guys in K50. Like K50 will shoot anything from like 25, sometimes even closer. Mm-hmm. And they just mix it up all the time. So
and they only go out to 50 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not that much more than 40, right? So
No.
And they may only have three or four targets at 50 or close to 50.
But I guess the trick is finding the scoring ring. Because they're not necessarily where you might think.
Seeing it is the problem. You need good binos if you can get your hands on them, for sure.
Yeah.
Even mine aren't quite good enough. Gary's got a nice set, but mine are like kind of the lower end Vortex ones. So
yeah,
they get the job the
crossfires.
Done.
Crossfires. Yeah.
Yeah, crossfires. Yeah. But they're such a good deal, man. Like, and you know. Yeah. I'm too rough on gear to go buy a $600.
You can't go wrong with it. Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you there. The glass is great in them, right? Yeah. And like I say, I'm too rough on gear to be buying $600 binos.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to end the show. I guess Gary is MIA. He's not coming back. So, we'll call it a night there. What's that, buddy?
Technical difficulties.
Just technical issues. Yeah.
Technical issues. Yeah. Tell the boys where to find you on your socials, boys.
Peyton _Golden on Instagram.
Caribou Media Outdoors on Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, check those out. Josh does lots of great reviews, and Peyton is you're like the director at your archery range now, right?
Yep, I run the archery department for the Elmira Rod and Gun.
Big dog.
Yeah. So he's a big dog there now. So stop it and see Peyton if you're looking for memberships for the
nice.
There you go.
For the range. All right, folks, thank you for listening and good night. And you're not going to hear my brother do that other thing, and I'm not doing it. So,
<Love ya. laughs>
all right, folks, we'll catch you later.